Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
We're getting down to business, all right? And this time around, the business of our money management, especially when it comes to our debt overdrafts. The latest DebtBuster's third quarter 2025 debt index is a quarterly evaluation of debt counseling applications and helps us understand what are you and I doing when it comes to managing debt. Let it be understood, there's nothing wrong with the use of debt. If you do it smartly, it can actually unlock so many more opportunities for you to access more funding, build wealth on a sustainable basis, and even use that as an investment to build on other revenue streams that you can create, like studying, and then you get a better job, and then you earn a higher income, or buying a car, which gives you the flexibility to move the items that you sell as a business owner, and that brings in more revenue. But it ultimately speaks to your behavior. How are we managing not only to pay it off, but how are we relying on debt, especially when it comes to overdrafts? To tell us more, we're joined by a good friend of the show, Executive Head of DebtBuster's, Benai Sega, to talk us through the latest report that we see from the company. Benai, it's such a pleasure to have you and welcome to the show, sir.
Always great to be here and congratulations on your nomination once more.
Thank you. Great. We appreciate it. It's conversations like this that help us deliver a quality show. But I guess first things first, Benai, we often speak to you about the debt index on a quarterly basis, and we review some interesting insights and themes that typically have come out. It's no surprise that South Africans are still challenged by debt. In fact, one of the last reports we spoke about mentioned that at least 75 cents of every rand goes off to paying off debt. Is this still, I guess, the status quo? And how do overdrafts play a role here?
Yeah, I definitely think that's the case. Before I answer you in full, I also want to just pick up on something you said about the circulation of money. It's not possible for any of us to achieve our dreams without credit. I think we need to be we need to be honest about it, and that's why it's there. And if it's used responsibly, it can be amazing. You know, it could open many, many doors for many of us that otherwise would not. What we've seen is with the DebtBuster's clients, we call them graduates, those who finished the program. We've seen that increase 12-fold over the last several years. And in fact, the group that finished in Q3 2025, over the course of their debt counseling journey, which is usually around 5 years, they ended up paying about 540 million rands worth of debt back to their creditors. Now, what does that mean? It means that that money could be lent to others who need it, could be put back into good use, help us set up new businesses, help us pay for our education, help us acquire assets and the like. So we like it from that perspective. So I think it's great. It's important to think about these linkages and make sure we all understand we're part of the same ecosystem. Coming back to your question, yes, I think we're all feeling a little bit more confident. I also listened to your previous guest. Everybody's feeling a little bit more confident. We had the sovereign credit upgrade over the weekend, which is very significant. That doesn't happen often. It's very significant. And I think all of us have a role to play in making that happen as South Africans. And, you know, we're hoping for another interest rate reduction on Thursday. We'll see whether that happens. And I think that's going to put us in better mood. It's also springtime. You know, naturally, we gravitated towards higher confidence, more expenditure and all of that. So what we're seeing is consistent in terms of the themes. And I think where we probably need activity is just growth in incomes and growth in the number of people who are employed. We're hoping that some of the good news we received will carry on into 2026 to actually produce for that. I think where we are is we need more young people to enter the workforce with good jobs, support a broader-based economy, allow for more lending so that over time, hopefully, interest rates will also fall down. I think that's kind of where we are. So, yes, still needing to pay about 70% of take-home pay for debt repayments for those who apply for debt counseling. Yes, still 95% of them coming with personal loans. And this time, we're also saying about 22% of them have had to use overdraft facilities. So the picture isn't rosy, but we're hoping that I think these good news will help us build a bit of momentum towards seeing lower debt levels in 2026.
And I guess this is also just a sign of the times, right? Some might assume that, hold on, we've seen lower interest rates for the last year. So where are we seeing the pressure come from? If looking at the macroeconomic themes, inflation and interest rates are slightly softer. Why are we still finding consumers under pressure using accessing their overdrafts on a heightened basis?
I think pressure is coming from a few angles. I think firstly, if you think about where the inflation is driven in South Africa, I think most of it is through regulated things. So what you're paying for your rates to your municipality, what you're paying for your electricity, what you're paying for your petrol price and other regulated things, those have been increasing over the last several years in a rate that is much higher than the rate of overall inflation or consumer price index, as they call it, CPI. Mm-hmm. Those things really create difficulty when it comes to, because they take up big chunks of the money. For example, we saw that in the latest report, about 10% of everyone's disposable income is spent on utilities. So that's your electricity, that's your water, that's your rates. There's another 10% that's spent on transport, and that's predominantly because of petrol, because we're so dependent on it. Those two things just alone make up 20%. Those are big chunks of money. If we could tame the inflation for those things and bring it down to much lower levels, we would have a lot more disposable income. And as a result, we wouldn't probably need to borrow as much. I think that's one area of pressure. The second one is that incomes haven't really risen at the same rate as inflation. I know there's some outliers and there's some people who, where this did happen. But by and large, what we're seeing is income growth has really, since 2015, in fact, hasn't really kept up with inflation. And the third one is what we're noticing is there's a lot of pressure on people who are owning vehicles. This is something that a little bit different than the last time we spoke. Really? We could certainly see a little bit more vehicle debt. So I know that over the last few years, in fact, we've had a lot of new entrants, a lot of new Chinese cars coming into the market that made it much more affordable for particularly our young people. Still, though, when you're making those vehicle considerations, make sure you're choosing one that you can actually afford and you're not stretching yourself too far. Because, you have to remember the vehicle interest rates are linked to the repo rate. When they go down, that's great. But if they go up, then that's also going to put extra pressure on the people.
I was about to ask, because many might say that these vehicles look to be competitively priced, right? And I'm aware much of the advertising is the monthly cost of ownership of the vehicle. But are there additional factors that creep in, essentially making the installment a lot higher? I can imagine insurance, the maintenance. But also, are we finding that there's a tweak to the vehicle payment terms as well?
Yeah, in our experience, normally when you go to dealerships and you try to get a vehicle, the price of the vehicle is one thing. Of course, the interest rate is important, so very important to ask. And don't just take the first interest rate you've been given. What we're seeing is that the consumers who come to us, they're averaging around 15.5%, about 14.3% in terms of vehicle finance. That's not 14.3. Bad, historically speaking.
Okay, got you.
14.3. Still, that means if you're getting something that is a lot higher than that, then you should try to negotiate. That's one thing. The second thing is sometimes it will happen that dealerships will try to sell you what's known as value-added products. Nothing wrong with that. Just make sure you understand what you're buying and you're actually going to use it. And there is more than 30 of these, what they call value-added products. I mean, there's all kinds of things. You can get, things for your tires, for your windscreens and all of that. No problem with these. Just understand how likely am I to use these products? Am I just paying for something that I'm never going to use? So understand what you're paying for. And often what we find is the insurance and the value-added products tend to play quite a significant role. And again, with the insurance, particularly for vehicles, shop around, find the right one for yourself. Make sure you get the right one. Certainly have insurance. We should never have cars on the road without insurance. I think that's just quite reckless. I know that does happen, but it's not responsible. But find the right insurance for yourself that is going to make the most sense for you.
Got you. And I think this is so important. But now I also appreciate the perspective that the I guess, average or going interest rate for vehicle purchases is around 14% versus prime at 10.5%. So those are aspects that vehicle purchases just need to be cognizant of. There was a time when balloon payments were all the rage and then received a lot of, I guess, flack, or we questioned the practice because of the financial strain it would add to some South Africans who weren't adequately prepared for the large installment and final amount that would be due. Is this still a growing theme when it comes to vehicle financiers and maybe even just a change in the term? You know, 60 months, now 72. I think I last saw a contract for 90 months at some point in my, I was flabbergasted.
Yes. Yes, you have. You are correct. Yeah, there are a few themes. So balloon payments are still a theme, larger amounts, and definitely kicked out. The second theme is longer agreement terms. As you said, it used to be 60, then it was 72, then we saw 84, and now we're seeing 8 or 9 year terms. I've even seen one that's 10 years.
Oh, I think
what we really need to quote. For a car, yeah, we really need to question, okay, like what's going to be the value of a car in 10 years' time? The third theme is we're seeing with some of the dealerships, not as common as some other things, but what we're seeing is that there's a variable payment amount on a monthly basis. So particularly for young listeners, they will say, okay, you can sign for 8 years, and let's say on average you need to pay 4,000 rand. We understand you cannot pay 4,000 rand today. Let's say you can pay 2,500 rand, and they do it in such a way that you start with 2,500, and then next year it goes to 2,800, and then 3,000, and over the course of the year, you end up paying something like 5,000 or 6,000 rand per month. So they're doing it in an escalating way over the number of years. Now, that may be good for some people in terms of affordability, but you really have to question, is my income going to increase over the next several years? If I sign something like that, is my income going to keep up with that kind of increase that I'm expected to make towards my vehicle? I think that's the big question. So just be aware of those kind of things. You know, there's always innovation in the space. So I think we just need to make sure we're keeping up with it.
Definitely. Thanks for indulging me there, Benai. I know I took a left turn, literally, and started talking all things auto and auto financing. But I guess bringing the conversation back to our reliance on unsecured debt, especially when it comes to overdrafts, we can't ignore that there's quite a few factors we need to be mindful of. By the end of this week, the MPC hopefully would have given us an interest rate cut, but that has yet to be heard. Coupled with that, we are moving into a festive season furore, Black Friday, the festive season and holiday spending, holiday activities as well. Back to school when it comes to January, and just trying to reacclimatize to the new year. And that also comes with its own financial strain. I'm aware that you don't offer advice, but you perhaps can share guidelines as to how we, you know, can access our overdrafts, but need to be, I guess, disciplined and just heightened in terms of our awareness as to how to use this correctly.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think this time of year is always an exciting time of year because we get to see our families and spend time with those. We get to take a bit of holiday maybe, and it's summertime. I think it's always exciting with lots of deals on the table. And then when we come back, we get hit with, okay, increases for this, increases for that. Mm. Maybe your rent will go up, your insurance premium will go up. If you're paying for school, that will go up. You'll need new clothing for your kids, stationery, and all of that. So it's important to keep that perspective, as you rightfully pointed out. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon for the next several months. So make sure we're pacing ourselves, that we're not running out of breath in the first lap. So what does that mean? It means when we are looking at deals, let's compare deals and make sure we're getting the best out of it. There will be lots of deals for many things, without a doubt. But let's make sure that we're actually securing deals that will that will meet our needs first, and then we can move on to our wants. If we have to borrow to basically buy gifts and things, that's really difficult to accept, at least for me. I'm a registered debt counselor, as you know. Mm-hmm. It's difficult to accept that one should tap into credit when it comes to purchasing something that is a gift. I understand why that may happen, but I think it's important to keep that to a minimum. And I think, you know, from a psychological perspective, it's important to reward ourselves. So we fully understand it. It's been a long year. I think it was already a long year in February with, if you can remember, all the way back with the U.S. elections and what's going to happen to our economy, are the tariffs going to hit us, all of that. We've That seems like decades ago, but you know, over long term, things have a way of working themselves out. So now I think we're feeling a little bit economically, we're feeling more confident, a better space. So I think what we tell consumers is pace yourself. If you are going to borrow it in a responsible way. Do not fabricate any information. Do not give any fraudulent information. Don't overinflate your income. Yes. Don't underinflate your expenses. I think it's important to say that we have to be truthful when we're applying for credit. I think those are important things. I mean, while we're on the topic of fraud, we all know there's lots of different things happening. So we have to be extra diligent during this time of year, particularly. It's when we have our guard down and we're most vulnerable, particularly for our elderly. So we have to be extremely vigilant to make sure that, we don't actually fall into any of the fraud traps that may be running around.
100%. Oh, Benaik, I could have this conversation with you all day. Thank you again for your time, sir.
Thank you very much. Great to be on the show.
Likewise. That's Benaik Sega. He's the executive head of Debtbusters joining us tonight to help us navigate the world of managing our debt and our overdrafts. And as you've heard, credit is all about how you use it, but you do need to make sure that you fully grasp and understand how you're accessing it, what the terms and conditions are, everything right down from your interest rate, the terms and conditions of the payment and when they need to be fulfilled, even what the risks are should you default. Because the better prepared you are, then at least you know how more effectively and efficiently to manage it. It is 24 minutes after 7 o'clock. Share your thoughts, share your questions, share your insights. We want to hear from you. If you happen to be a coffee lover, decaf, or with all the caffeine in it, whether it's a cappuccino, flat white, Americano, our next conversation is definitely for you.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.